Manuscript Releases, Volume 1, Numbers 19 to 96. M.R. Number 23, Statements Concerning the Study of the Prophecies. Release requested by Elder Froom for the seminary class in History of Prophetic Interpretation and for subsequent publication in the ministry. Overlooked Truths to Appear. The Lord designs that in the revelation of truth in all ages, the doctrine of grace shall be gradually unfolded to the comprehension of man. If we follow on to know the Lord, we shall know His going forth is prepared as the morning. His truth unfolds as the obscurity of dawn brightens into the radiance of noonday. We have been fully convinced of this fact in these meetings. I have received a blessing in hearing from human lips the presentation of rich truth indicted by the Holy Spirit of God, presenting the requirements of God, a holy and perfect obedience, showing that complete satisfaction has been given the Father in His only begotten Son as a Lamb without blemish and without spot, and that through the merits and virtue of Christ's character, all who will believe in Him may become complete in Him. The kingdom of heaven, in the sense of celestial truth, is like treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. He digs over every part of it that he may come into possession of its treasures. So, in searching the field and digging for the precious jewels of truth, hidden treasures are discerned. Unexpectedly, we find precious ore that is to be gathered and treasured. And the search is to be continued. Hitherto, very much of the treasure found has lain near the surface and was easily obtained. When the search is properly conducted, every effort is made to keep a pure understanding and heart. When the mind is kept open and is constantly searching the field of revelation, we shall find rich deposits of truth. Old truths will be revealed in new aspects, and truths will appear which have been overlooked in the search. Sink shaft deep into mines of truth. The members of the Church of God need to be instructed and educated, line upon line, as a Bible class. 9/10 of our people, including many of our teachers and ministers, are content with surface truths. In the Bible, the truth is compared to treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. He desires the privilege of searching every part of the field, that he may make himself the possessor of all its treasures. I call upon my brethren in the name of the Lord to sink the shaft deep into the mines of truth. Dig deeply for solid foundations. Many who are serving as gospel ministers need to study the Word. Revelation means something revealed, which all are to understand. Dig deep for the truth. Plead with the Lord for an understanding of His Word. Those who feel their need of the special help of God will ask Him who is the source of all wisdom to supply their necessities. Ask Him to enlighten your understanding, that you may know how to give light to others. Put your mind to the tax. Never rest satisfied with a partial knowledge of the truth, pieced out with some weak suppositions. 174, 1899, 7, 8. Thoughts on Daniel and the Revelation, March 3, 1901. Mighty truths buried beneath rubbish of error. Mighty truths have been buried beneath the sophistry of error, but they will be found by the diligent searcher. As he finds and opens the treasure house of the precious jewels of truth, it is no robbery. For all who appreciate these jewels may possess them, and then they too have a treasure house to open to others. He who imparts does not deprive himself of the treasure, for, as he examines it, that he may present it in such a way as to attract others, he finds new treasures. Grapple with great themes. My brethren, the value of the evidences of truth that we have received during the past half century is above estimate. These evidences are as treasure hidden in a field. Search for them. Study the Bible truths that for 50 years have been calling us out from the world. Present this evidence in clear, plain lines. Those who have been long in the truth and those who have recently received the truth must now dig for the buried heavenly treasure. Let every man work to the point. Study the Word of God. Revive the evidences given in the past. Search the Scriptures, Christ said, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Those who stand before the people as teachers of truth are to grapple with great themes. They are not to occupy precious time in talking of trivial subjects. Let them study the Word and preach the Word. Let the Word be in their hands as a sharp, two-edged sword. Let it testify to past truths and show what is to be in the future. Christ came from heaven to give John the great, wonderful truths that are to shape our lives and that by us are to be proclaimed to the world. We are to keep abreast of the times, bearing a clear, intelligent testimony, guided by the unction of the Holy Spirit. Pages 5, 6. Be vigilant, April 2, 1906. Increased light to shine on all grand truths of prophecy. Increased light will shine upon all the grand truths of prophecy, and they will be seen in freshness and brilliancy, because the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness will illuminate the whole. The Lord wants to impart to us increased light. He desires that we shall have distinct revealings of His glory, that ministers and people shall become strong in His strength. When the angel was about to unfold to Daniel the intensely interesting prophecies to be recorded for us who are to witness their fulfillment, the angel said, "Be strong, yea, be strong." We are to receive the very same glory that was revealed to Daniel, because it is for God's people in these last days, that they may give the trumpet a certain sound. Be not diverted by minutiae. We are to proclaim the third angel's message to a perishing world, and we are not to permit our minds to become diverted by minutiae that practically amount to nothing. If our brethren would consider the important matters pertaining to eternal life and eternal death, many of the smaller matters that they desire so much to adjust would adjust themselves. The Lord calls upon His ministering servants to proclaim the message of truth, dwelling upon those things that are of great importance. When Jesus shall lead us by the side of the living waters flowing from God's throne, He will explain to us many of the mysteries of the Bible that we cannot now comprehend. He is the great teacher of His Word, which cannot be fully understood in this life, but which in the future life will be clothed with the brightness of the light of clear understanding. Letter 16, 1903, page 7. To Elder and Mrs. Haskell, January 1, 1903. We now discern only shadow of important truth. All who have misconceived opinions and principles because they have entertained them hold them fast as too precious to yield in order to obtain the most precious knowledge of the true bearing of the Word of God upon all the movements of their daily life. These will lose much which they might have obtained, and that loss will prevent them from advancing in the light which God has given them opportunities to obtain. They have not mental or spiritual appetite to eat and digest, Therefore, the second advance steps could not be made in following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. The more closely and studiously we search for the truth as for hidden treasure, for there are bright and important truths of which we now only discern the shadows, the more surely shall we advance in the light as he is in the light. We shall discern the brightness and value of truth to be as precious jewels. The voice of God is heard, but we may be so far away from him that we can only hear the echo. There are words of instruction coming from God day by day, and in an hour that we know not, he may give words to his chosen messengers for us, which we lose for want of discernment and appreciation. Then we go stumbling along in the uncertainty of night, and know not at what we stumble. There is a brightening glory for us as we advance, but which we shall never see unless we do advance. We may catch a few sparks, but that is all. The brightness of the heavenly glory we do not see. Letter 147, 1897, pages 6, 7. To James Edson White, September 12, 1897. Diligent study will bring greater understanding. This book, Revelation, demands close, prayerful study, lest it be interpreted according to the ideas of men, and false construction be given to the sacred word of the Lord, which, in its symbols and figures, means so much to us. There is so much that we positively must understand, in order that we may shape our course of action so that we shall not receive the plagues which are coming upon the world. In the Revelation, the deep things of God are portrayed. Those whose hearts are wholly sanctified to God will be brought nigh to see priceless gems through the telescope of faith. And as they apply the truth to practice, the still deeper mysteries are stamped on the soul. Those thus honored are to communicate to others that which they have received. And as they do this, angels make the impression upon hearts. All who understand the Word of God will realize that the things of minor importance, which in the past have occupied their time and consumed their strength, have deprived them of an experience and knowledge which they might have obtained had they kept the faith untarnished by selfishness. Had they done this, they would have understood the result of possessing that faith which works by love and purifies the soul. Let none think, because they cannot explain the meaning of every symbol in the Revelation, that it is of no use for them to search this book with deep, earnest longing and intense desire to know the meaning of the truths it contains. The one who revealed these mysteries to John can and will give the diligent searcher for truth a foretaste of heavenly things hereafter to be realized. Rich blessings will come to him who reads and hears the words of this prophecy and keeps those things which are written therein. Letter 16, 1900, pages 2, 3. To Belden, January 27, 1900. Location of threefold message divinely fixed. The proclamation of the first, second, and third angels' messages has been located by the word of inspiration. Not a peg or pin is to be removed. No human authority has any more right to change the location of these messages than to substitute the New Testament for the Old. The Old Testament is the gospel in figures and symbols. The New Testament is the substance. One is as essential as the other. The Old Testament presents lessons from the lips of Christ, and these lessons have not lost their force in any particular. The first and second messages were given in 1843 and 1844, and we are now under the proclamation of the third. But all three of the messages are still to be proclaimed. It is just as essential now as ever before that they shall be repeated to those who are seeking for the truth. By pen and voice, we are to sound the proclamation, showing their order, and the application of the prophecies that bring us to the third angel's message. There cannot be a third without the first and second. These messages we are to give to the world in publications, in discourses, showing in the line of prophetic history the things that have been and the things that will be. The book that was sealed was not the book of Revelation, but that portion of the prophecy of Daniel which related to the last days. The scripture says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." When the book was opened, the proclamation was made, "Time shall be no longer." The book of Daniel is now unsealed, and the revelation made by Christ to John is to come to all the inhabitants of the earth. By the increase of knowledge, a people is to be prepared to stand in the latter days. "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven, and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters." This message, if heeded, will call the attention of every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, to a close examination of the Word, and to the true light in regard to the power that has changed the seventh-day Sabbath to a spurious Sabbath. The only true God has been forsaken. His law has been discarded. His sacred Sabbath institution has been trampled in the dust by the man of sin. The fourth commandment, so plain and explicit, has been ignored. The Sabbath memorial, declaring who the living God is, the creator of the heavens and the earth, has been torn down, and a spurious Sabbath has been given to the world in its place. Thus a breach has been made in the law of God. A false Sabbath could not be a true standard. In the first angel's message, men are called upon to worship God, our Creator, who made the world and all things that are therein. They have paid homage to an institution of the papacy, making of no effect the law of Jehovah. But there is to be an increase of knowledge on this subject. The message proclaimed by the angel flying in the midst of heaven is the everlasting gospel, the same gospel that was declared in Eden when God said to the serpent, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Here was the first promise of a Savior that would stand on the field of battle to contest the power of Satan and prevail against him. Christ came to our world to represent the character of God as it is represented in his holy law, for his law is a transcript of his character. Christ was both the law and the gospel. The angel that proclaims the everlasting gospel proclaims the law of God, for the gospel of salvation brings man to obedience of the law, whereby their characters are formed after the divine similitude. In the 58th chapter of Isaiah, the work of those who worship God, the maker of the heavens and the earth, is specified. "They that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations." God's memorial, his seventh-day Sabbath, will be uplifted. Isaiah 58, verse 12 to 14. The history of the church and the world, the loyal and the disloyal, is here plainly revealed. The loyal, under the proclamation of the third angel's message, have turned their feet into the way of God's commandments, to respect, to honor, and glorify him who created the heavens and the earth. The opposing forces have dishonored God by making a breach in his law, and when light from his word has called attention to his holy commandments, revealing the breach made in the law by the papal authority, then, to get rid of conviction, men have tried to destroy the whole law. But could they destroy it? No, for all who will search the scriptures for themselves will see that the law of God stands immutable, eternal, and his memorial, the Sabbath, will endure through eternal ages, pointing to the only true God in distinction from all false gods. Satan has been persevering and untiring in his efforts to prosecute the work he began in heaven, to change the law of God. He has succeeded in making the world believe the theory he presented in heaven before his fall, that the law of God was faulty and needed revising. A large part of the professed Christian church, by their attitude, if not by their words, show that they have accepted the same error. But if in one jot or tittle the law of God has been changed, Satan has gained on earth that which he could not gain in heaven. He has prepared his delusive snare, hoping to take captive the church and the world. But not all will be taken in the snare. A line of distinction is being drawn between the children of obedience and the children of disobedience, the loyal and true, and the disloyal and untrue. Two great parties are developed, the worshippers of the beast and his image, and the worshippers of the true and living God. The message of Revelation 14, proclaiming that the hour of God's judgment is come, is given in the time of the end. And the angel of Revelation 10 is represented as having one foot on the sea and one foot on the land, showing that the message will be carried to distant lands, the ocean will be crossed, and the islands of the sea will hear the proclamation of the last message of warning to our world. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. This message announces the end of the prophetic periods. The disappointment of those who expected to see our Lord in 1844 was indeed bitter to those who had so ardently looked for his appearing. It was in the Lord's order that this disappointment should come, and that hearts should be revealed. Not one cloud has fallen upon the church that God has not prepared for. Not one opposing force has risen to counterwork the work of God, but he has foreseen. All has taken place as he has predicted through his prophets. He has not left his church in darkness, forsaken, but has traced in prophetic declarations what would occur, and through his providence, acting in its appointed place in the world's history, he has brought about that which his Holy Spirit inspired the prophets to foretell. All his purposes will be fulfilled and established. His law is linked with his throne, and satanic agencies combined with human agencies cannot destroy it. Truth is inspired and guarded by God. It will live and will succeed, although it may appear at times to be overshadowed. The gospel of Christ is the law exemplified in character. The deceptions practiced against it, every device for vindicating falsehood, every error forged by satanic agencies, will eventually be eternally broken, and the triumph of truth will be like the appearing of the sun at noonday. The Sun of Righteousness shall shine forth with healing in his wings, and the whole earth shall be filled with his glory. All that God has in prophetic history specified to be fulfilled in the past has been, and all that is yet to come in its order will be. Daniel, God's prophet, stands in his place. John stands in his place. In the Revelation, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has opened to the students of prophecy the book of Daniel. And thus is Daniel standing in his place. He bears his testimony, that which the Lord revealed to him in vision of the great and solemn events which we must know as we stand on the very threshold of their fulfillment.
In history and prophecy, the Word of God portrays the long-continued conflict between truth
and error. That conflict is yet in progress. Those things which have been will be repeated. Old controversies will be revived, and new theories will be continually arising. But God's people, who in their belief and fulfillment of prophecy have acted a part in the proclamation of the first, second, and third angels' messages, know where they stand. They have an experience that is more precious than fine gold. They are to stand firm as a rock, holding the beginning of their confidence steadfast unto the end. A transforming power attended the proclamation of the first and second angels' messages, as it attends the message of the third angel. Lasting convictions were made upon human minds. The power of the Holy Spirit was manifested. There was diligent study of the Scriptures, point by point. Almost entire nights were devoted to earnest searching of the Word. We searched for the truth as for hidden treasures. The Lord revealed Himself to us. Light was shed on the prophecies, and we knew that we received divine instruction. 32, 1896, 1-7. Testimony concerning the views of prophecy held by Brother John Bell, December 6, 1896. Every position of faith will be examined. Our people have been regarded as too insignificant to be worthy of notice, but a change will come. The movements are now being made. The Christian world is now making movements which will necessarily bring the commandment-keeping people of God to notice. There is a daily suppression of God's truth for the theories and false doctrines of human origin. There are plans and movements being set on foot to enslave the consciences of those who would be loyal to God. The law-making powers will be against God's commandment-keeping people. Every soul will be tested. Oh, that we would, as a people, be wise for ourselves, and by precept and example, impart that wisdom to our children. Every position of our faith will be searched into, and if we are not thorough Bible students, established, strengthened, settled, the wisdom of the world's great men will be too much for us. The world is busy, anxious, and devoted. All are in the pursuit of some course that God has no part in. Evil is eagerly pursued as though it were righteousness, error as though it were truth, and sin as though it were holiness. Darkness is thickening, covering the earth, and gross darkness the people. And shall God's peculiar people at such a time as this be asleep? Shall those who hold the truth be silent as if paralyzed? Letter 65, 1886, page 3. To a sister, December 31, 1886. White Estate, Washington, D.C., January 31, 1940.